Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 120, the season one finale. Que sera, sera, comes your way now.
Pete, this an episode written by your series creators, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, directed by Gregory Smith, the sometimes actor, more recently director. And ratings-wise, 0.6 rating with 7 million viewers. This ties a series low.
I'm going to speculate for just a moment, Matt. Yesterday, Sunday, April 14th, was kind of a enormous day in pop culture in that you had the premiere of the first episode of the final season of Game of Thrones coming on immediately after. I'm wondering, you know, given that we just changed our channel over to that and watched it, I'm wondering if maybe some people were out attending places, if perhaps they were, you know, planning to get to God Friended Me a little bit later on. I think there are extenuating circumstances. And then you had the Masters and Tiger Woods in there as well, speaking of miracles. So I'm wondering if there might be extenuating circumstances on that rating.
I think, too, you know, live ratings count for a lot. Certainly DVR ratings count for a great deal as well. We will certainly be doing a season wrap at some point next week. So we'll be able to update the DVR numbers for this episode in due course. I would bet it's a larger than normal DVR bounce and that we're kind of overall back to where we normally are.
No time to freak out just yet. We have that second season order. But what do you say, Matt, we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode? Hip-hop music fills the air as Ali recaps. Miles, Kara, and Rakesh are all basically fired, and Simon Hayes isn't behind the God account. Miles says they need to make things right. Can't the code be rebuilt by finding its foundation? The Juliet Code, as written by the elusive Henry Chase, work together to get Henry and Simon Hayes together. Let's do it.
Arthur Finer is pacing the church floor, and he learns that the Reverend Thompson will be the next Bishop of New York. Elsewhere, Kara's cleaning out her office, but may have an offer on writing a book based on her account adventures. On the street, Miles and Rakesh aren't that worse for wear either. And Miles is in love with Kara. Miles and Rakesh go to Identity Seal, hat in hand, ready to apologize to Simon. And for the record, he didn't build his life-saving product to profit. He wanted to give it away, to encourage people to work together, to help each other. That, too, could have mended the friendship of Simon and Henry. Add to that the fact that Simon needs to defend his job to the company board, and it's all bad news again.
So who can help? Graham Hastings, who played against Henry's chess code. They go see Graham, and he's teaching Annabelle chess, just like he promised. So can he connect them to Henry? Graham finally admits that he heard from Henry a few days ago. They played chess online. Miles and Kara go for a walk. They commit to taking things slow and building their romance back up. They kiss, and something stirs. It's Miles' phone, telling him Christina from Freeverse has to meet ASAP. At Allie's bar, Arthur postgames his election loss with Trish. She compliments him for being prepared to move on, which means he can move back to the church with ease. Back to Miles and his Freeverse meeting, the podcast network is yanking the Millennial Prophet due to Identity Seal's parent company giving a cease and desist order. Then Miles sees Priya getting in a car, and he hails a taxi driven by old pal Hassan. Follow that car.
Hassan shares that daughter Tara and fiancé David are marrying. See, another God-friended me happy ending, all due to Miles and company. Priya's car pulls over at the Brahmin temple. She's not surprised to see Miles, but is surprised to hear she deleted the wrong program. There's more bad news. She's here to pray for more time, as she's afflicted with leukemia. Maybe they should team up. They do, and Rakesh is set to track Henry. The bad news continues, though. Kara doesn't have the copyright on her articles. Catapult does. And ding, Henry's location has been pinged. He's at Identity Seal. They go there and the lights go off. Rakesh has a bad feeling about this. And Simon's there. Then Henry too. Time to talk.
First things first, Henry is not, repeat, not behind the God account. He's here to end things. He will not help Simon and does not believe Simon would have given away the improved tech. Simon isn't a helper. But Priya says Simon helped her 5 years ago by donating his bone marrow. Henry shrugs it off. Our gang goes to Ali's bar, and Miles wonders if Henry isn't being driven by fear. Ding, ding, the account has invited them to a bat mitzvah tomorrow. Ali reminds Miles that Arthur is down and the good son goes to visit his father. Arthur was so certain being bishop was his next step. Miles notes that it's all about knowing what you want.
The next day, the bat mitzvah plans still loom large, but how can they get to Henry? Miles asks the account, which directs him to the park where Henry can be found. Henry reflects on the loss of his sister, tears streaming down his face as he remembers creating the Juliet code, but was unable to fix the mistakes of the past. Miles asks for trust. They go to the bat mitzvah, meeting up with the rest of the gang, and OM blank, it's Rabbi Zoe. Erica is lucky to be mitzvahed today. She almost drowned on a camping trip last month. Hey, didn't Simon's code help with that? That code helped prevent losing Erica. The music swells, and Henry is glad she's okay.
Back at Arthur's place, he tells Trish that he's been reflecting. He's decided to step down as head priest of Harlem Episcopal, and the Reverend Carver is there to guide the church. He's giving up the priesthood to concentrate on being a father and a husband. Trish is surprised and says yes. Back at Ali's bar, Miles and the gang get told by Simon that he's out of the company, but got Rakesh a job in R&D on his way out and made an angel investment in Freeverse after they took Miles back. By the way, make sure to stop by patreon.com/fantasticgeek today.
That goes double if you're a billionaire angel investor.
And they can't resuscitate Kara's book deal, but Simon offers to let her write the book on what he and Priya and Henry will be doing in Paris to build the Juliet code back up. As everyone settles in for a drink, Priya tells Henry about her love for him.
Speaking of love, Miles tells Kara, out of love, that she's got to go to Paris. With that, Arthur and Trish arrive with news. It's the God-friended me uplift, and drinks are on the house. The next day, Miles shares on his podcast that he's talking to Lord Vader, his father, right now on the record. They start to debate the, finer points of religion and the God account. How does Miles feel knowing that he might never unmask the person behind the account? The question isn't the important thing. Helping people is what matters most. On that, father and son agree. Later, it's taxi time as Kara is leaving. Miles would say more, but too much and she won't get on the plane. Instead, they'll just see each other in 6 months. So why didn't Miles say it? She already knows. Miles takes a walk, and a woman tells him he's not funny. After all, some God account just recommended him as a friend.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, first one here. Will we see, when the show returns assuredly, we have that second season order already in hand, will we see the 6 months, or will it be 6 months later?
I would guess we're going to get the old 6 months later, and we will catch up in medias res.
That certainly does make sense. Maybe there's the potential to kind of come at the end of those 6 months. You know, maybe do you hold Kara for the end of episode 201, something like that. But I have to imagine we'll just get that jump forward like it's gone in an instant.
Were you at all surprised, Matt, that the Reverend Finer, one, did not get the bishop win, did not get the bishop position through the election, which we had both assumed would happen, having overcome the obstacle of his son's atheism and his daughter's sexual orientation, and two, that he steps away from the cloth. That almost makes it seem like what if he had been elected? Would this not have gone this way?
I think that we have seen the show evolve over the course of the season and figure out the best place for these characters to be, to interact. You know, I think when the show gets pitched, when the pilot episode gets shot, it makes sense to have everyone where they were, but then they need to kind of fully inhabit the world that they're in. That said, I completely was under the assumption the best way to include Arthur, you know, the Reverend, in the story moving forward is for him to have a bigger reverendancy, if you will, you know, a bigger ability to continue his vocation and his calling. The notion that he would happily settle aside that to start the next chapter of his life is something I did not see coming, and I think it's definitely a case of putting the character first, because I'm not sure how things are going to unfold. Whereas had he been the bishop, it would have been new, bigger plans for a bigger soup kitchen and a bigger homeless shelter. Whereas now there's tons of story potential.
I mean, when you consider that he has stepped down from his position and Kara is no longer a periodical journalist, and that's very, very easily solved. What do you know? She has cultivated a relationship while in Paris with another periodical, and she now comes back to New York to write for thingamabob.com. Copyright Peter J. Kalar, 2019.
I think the change that she goes through is less surprising in that, A, as you say, she's gone from a writing job now to another writing job, which can turn into a third writing job. I will also say, with a little bit of loving snark, there was a whole section of this season, maybe the second quarter, where she wasn't really a writer. I mean, she would say she was writing things, but it kind of wasn't crucial to how she was interacting with the stories on this show. So the fact that she now is front and center with these three powerful people as they have their own adventure, presumably off screen, and she's going to come back, relay that, write the book tours, whatever it might be, it lets her inhabit the show as the writer she is, not the person who comes along because Violet Bean has second billing on the show.
And I think they've successfully moved through that. It was, a valid criticism of the show where, yeah, she's a writer not doing writing things, but going on these podcasts, God account adventures. And I think we've got to give her a little bit more to do as we move to the second season. So this idea, Matt, that Simon is somehow responsible to the board, I think we understand. You know, publicly traded companies, it's not just the owner, it's the board and the shareholders he's ultimately responsible for. But how about, you know, the swings he takes on the way out? Oh, here's Rakesh. He gets to do whatever he wants in R&D. And then this sizable angel donation to Freeverse. I dig the uplift. This is why people watch that show, watch this show. I just wonder the feasibility. And yes, he couched it in one of my last actions was, but I mean, oh, we got rid of the former owner, and we've also gotten rid of his last actions, could also be a thing.
I think that at the end of the day, it is some story hand-waving to make the next 6 months, which presumably we won't see most of on the show, to make that a super stable situation. Do we have golden parachutes and things of that sort? I mean, Pete, you only need look as far as some of the leadership changes at CBS itself to know that there are some pretty generous and ridiculous golden parachutes out there. So I think that probably if we had Mr. Lillian and Winbrandt on the podcast, they would point to that. And I think it would be difficult to argue many, many corporate cases of, sure, we'll do all sorts of things just as long as you leave, you know. That said, what's the story effect here? It is, as I said, now Rakesh is okay, and Miles is okay, and Kara is okay. Pete, we're lucky that Simon didn't then turn around and say, and I have a really big interest in microbrews, so now, Allie, I'd like to buy your bar, and you can continue to work here rent-free. Occasionally, I'll come in. I want to work on some Simon Swill.
I almost wondered, and it was going to be, and Scarecrow, I'm going to miss you most of all.
yeah, I mean, bottom line is this. The show clearly wanted to have that uplift and wanted to have all the story pieces set up for that assured season two, not the, oh man, what will it be? Tune in next season and find out. Also, colloidal silver shall be uncovered. This was, no, we're going to give the solid plan for episode 201, or at least where everyone will be in that episode.
Right. The setup being important moving forward. And how does that happen? That comes courtesy the yet unnamed character, the Asian woman that approaches Miles on the street here. And Matt, I mean, if we're going to project out 6 months, let's understand to a potential direction. Miles is working with this woman to figure out account things, and Kara comes back and, oh, wait, this is awkward.
That is a really astute and writerly observation there, Pete. I think you're absolutely right. You get to insert her into the story, whether it's the cast or not, I guess time will tell, but you get to insert her into the story in a way that could work short term, you know, a couple of episodes that could be brand new cast member. And also, I feel like in retrospect, it seems so obvious that the account would be doing this with more than one person. I mean, you think of the effect that we've seen Miles, and yes, his friends, but Miles gets these little pushes from the account and this massive effect that it has on you know, hundreds of people. I mean, I think of the building episode alone. It was an entire building full of 70, 80 people. Why not do it with another person? Why not see what that effect is if the account is a thinking entity? And Pete, let's turn to that. I think the show makes it pretty clear in the final podcast that we hear Miles giving. The show makes it clear we are not going to search for the person behind the God account anymore. We had a beginning where it was a mystery. We had a middle where it was, you know, was it Priya? Was it Simon? Was it Henry? And all three of them had made a thing that impacted this but was not this. And Miles, and I dare say the series, was saying, thus the search ends. We are no longer going to look for, is it man or is it God? It's this intangible thing that we might return to down the line, but that's not the course of the first half of the next season.
Yeah, and I think, again, there's space to explore. The fundamental nature of the show hasn't changed, but some of the variables have. I mean, Rakesh and whatever he'll get into, whatever developments will happen at R&D will clearly be influenced by the events in Paris. When you consider Priya has leukemia that's returned and she's going to Paris. Now, this is a pretty, you know, easy solve. Paris has for so long been a foremost center for research, particularly for diseases. So she's receiving treatment. They're working on the code. Oh, what do you know? The code can predict if people are at a genetic disposition for certain types of cancer, or predict who might be good matches or whatever. Like, boom, that's just off the top of my head, Matt. Put me in the room. But, you know, there's all sorts of possibilities there. You keep those players out there, sure, they can come back into the story, but they don't have to. This story is about Miles and Kara, fundamentally, the God account. Add in Rakesh there. Let's get some more Ali. Let's get less of like, oh, hey, you are all here at the place where I work. Let's see her develop some more in season two. I think there's a definite use for her. There's a space for her in the story, particularly pursuing the psychological work that she is.
I think that you see in this episode maybe a little reminder of what you're saying in terms of building up the Allie character a little bit more. I think of that scene about two-thirds of the way through where Miles stops by the bar and Allie is merely the conduit to say, hey, Dad is sad. Have you talked to him? You know, so father and son, you can help each other, because I don't know how to help him. I'm just a girl who works in a bar, versus she has insight into her father. She has kind of closer religious interests with her father than Miles does. And look, I understand at the end of the day, Miles is the lead character, and I understand the importance that Joe Morton's Arthur plays here, but Pete, room to grow for season two.
I love, love, love that this finale featured multiple friends from before. All right, Rabbi Zoe was not a friend suggestion ever, but she showed up in the pilot. She showed up at some point towards the latter third of the season, and we get her back in there as well. A lot of touchstones. It smacks of the finale that they wanted to be able to tell, knowing that they had the second season order instead of, all right, we got to reveal who's behind the God account, and behind the curtain is, boom, there you go. Off you go. So I love that we've done that. I got to take them to task the slightest bit, Matt. So we have the scene that is filmed outdoors at the park, the emotional scene where Henry talks about losing Juliet. You noticed the snow on the ground, right?
Well, yeah, Pete, it was probably filmed like 4 to 6 weeks ago, you know, first half of March. Definitely snow weather in the Northeast.
Okay. So Erica Katz, who nearly drowned a month ago in a flood, swimming in the Hudson Valley Basin. Yeah, even if we're going to go with the time, she was swimming in March. They might have gone back and considered that one a little bit better. It really brought me out of that bit. I get the biblical indications of or implications, I should say, of a flood. I like that there. That the account had predicted it because of the AI. But yeah, the weather thing really kind of took me out of that.
Maybe a product of a Burbank or LA writer's room, that anybody at any time you can go swimming a month ago versus, yeah, even if we say, well, this episode is taking place around when it airs, as you say, nobody's swimming in March, period. And, you know, thus is how it is, I suppose.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, two tweets here, both perfectly fitting, particularly as we wrap up this, this look at the season finale. Of course, as stated before, we'll do a season-long conclusion episode next week. The first tweet comes from Peter, that's at TweetScala, who says, I can't wait to hear tomorrow's podcast. I picked watching God Friended Me over my favorite team in the world.
That, of course, the formerly first place New York Mets, who have been surpassed by the Philadelphia Phillies, at least for a night, Matt. So Peter and I will have to hope that playing head to head against the Philadelphia team the next couple nights, the Amazons can bring it back. And let's remember too that co-showrunner and creator Stephen Lillian, big Mets fan.
Pete, this last tweet, this is the perfect way to end discussion about this episode. You had said the joking tweet, wait, the code predicted a flood? Was there an ark and some animals involved? I had quote tweeted that saying, I don't know, with N-O-A-H in capitals, you know, a little Noah joke there. Pete, we then got a reply on this show about a podcast where people get messages from the God account. We got a reply from the God Friended Me account that said simply, good one, laughing emoji. And Pete, I don't know if it gets better than that to have the God Friended Me account reply to us about our podcast, at least indirectly. You reply to our podcast Twitter account. It's all very snake eating its tail in a really uplifting way.
It is. And when you consider it was just over a year from now, we were hearing of this series premise for the first time. And, you know, when we saw who creatively was involved, it was a no-brainer as far as our podcasting of it. And then when you look at the consistent caliber and quality of the show, the cast, the stories that they've told, the premise as it exists, and, you know, the potential moving forward, you know what? Really, really happy to be involved with it.
Absolutely. And let's put out a call to our listeners. We'll give our contact info shortly. Let's hear your thoughts for the entire season here as we get ready to talk about that next week. I can say this, though, Pete, this season finale really hammering home what has been a very, very solid, enjoyable, uplifting, and unique television viewing experience, which is not something you always think is going to happen on network TV. But Lillian and Winbrandt and CBS, they did it.
Without a doubt. And it's filling a void. It's scratching an itch that's not been done. You know, I've said it a number of times only because so much TV is pitched with existing properties. But this is in the This Is Us headspace, if you will, with a little bit of the procedural going on. And it's been successful. People have responded for it.
And we, of course, need to thank our patrons who have supported us all season long for God, Friend, and Me. Thank you to everybody who goes to patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Pete, we might not have the big single Simon Hayes angel investor, but we have a bunch of people helping out as best they can, and that keeps us going, and that gives us our own little uplift.
Indeed, it does. And we try to give back, other than this free podcast that we put out and all the family of Fantastic Geek podcasts, all free. But those that help us cover our bandwidth, our storage, all these ancillary costs, get up to the Paley Center to bring that panel to you back in February. Big, big thanks. Just recorded yet another exclusive that will only ever be available for patrons, Matt, that are Avengers Endgame special preview. No spoilers, but if you're anxious, if you really want to get prepared for what to expect a week from Thursday, get over to patreon.com. All it takes is a dollar to get you in the door, and then there's all sorts of levels you can choose to contribute past that.
Well, Pete, ahead of that season wrap that we're going to do next week, how can people be in touch with you to talk GFM?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,414 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, on Instagram, on Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek, all one word, with the P-H, like it today.
So we'll be back next week talking the season as a whole. In the interim, Pete, I know we definitely have some Star Trek Discovery to discuss between now and then. Also going to be working on something that's been brewing for a while. Maybe take the lid off that in the coming days as well. Also other secret goodies in the near future as well. So
a little cloak and dagger
Absolutely, Pete, getting 1 foot in the Marvel universe, being there in the Star Trek universe, other universes to explore as well, galaxies, etc. So all that going on the Pop Culture Podcast feed. And as mentioned one more time, we got one more God Friend Me podcast left for this season, and looking forward to doing that next week. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you, Pete, the final word.
Just add three letters to Paris, and you have paradise.